welcome to another exciting episode of Best of Five Weekly FGC Talk Show here on Twitch. Elon, yeah. do we have the hulked out Steve technology running at full capacity?
Yes, we do.
It's up and running. All right, well, before we get to that, I'm Efren, I'm your host. We've got Michael Donka-Schiller. We're both here in the studio here in sunny Austin, Texas.
Very sunny. And
joining us, as they always do, is John Velociraptor Guerrero and Steve Bruce Banner the Hulk Jurek, also known as Ace King Offsuit. You won't like him when he's angry.
The things I do for this show.
You got a slight maybe flubber, maybe Slimer
thing going on. He's radioactive.
R.I.P. Robin Williams.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, R.I.P. Robin Williams. Good point.
Why are those kids in computer class that, like, just got into, like, the new program thing, and they're just tweaking all the stupid little knobs and buttons and everything with
kid
no
picks?
Understanding of what they're doing?
It reminds me when you, like, found out you could use Alt on the kids' picks commands. Yeah.
Yo.
Well, look at the fish tank.
Yep, the fish tank looks pretty cool. Time out, bro. We're not even there to this yet. But all right,
I swear this show is about fighting games. We've got a few things to talk about this week.
We're obviously super excited about it, about this announcement right here, which is why Steve is green. Elon, if you would. That's it right there. That's what the entire hour and a half show is going to be about.
This is cool. They've actually been very timely with their DLC releases, and, you know, they've gotten some poor response to how, like, non-gameplay-oriented their trailers are. But they are fun to watch, at least for people who aren't as interested in the game itself. You get to see their super moves. You get to see some of their animations, some of the things they say. You know, I think some people would like to see a little more gameplay than they show. But they have gone so far as to get pro players like Ada, and I think Momochi and Choco Blanca are going to show off Zamasu. Mm-hmm. They did the same thing with Moke and a few other guys for Broly and for Bardock. So they've done a better job than maybe a couple other companies as far as, you know, keeping the DLC releases where
they
wanted to. Hey,
did you hear that Street Fighter V launched a new character today?
They did!
Yeah. We're going to talk about that here a little bit later. You might be asking yourself, are we going to play that character on this stream? The answer is no, we're not.
We're not.
You can play that character on your stream, all right? And maybe if we want to play, we might play later at home. But we're not doing it on the stream. In the meantime, though, what we will talk about is we'll get a recap of the weekend's events. That's one thing we'll talk about, Mike. Okay. Another thing, of course, will be other developments in the DLC world, rumors, signings, TV shows, movies. FGC's got them. One of those was E-League. We're going to say that towards the end. And then we're going to talk a little bit about anime games. We're going to talk a little bit about blocking and grabbing on those as well. So why don't we go ahead and jump into a recap. Steve, I know you're angry right now, but if you're ready, we can do a recap.
Am I just going to be green for the entire show? I just
Gamma recap!
Everyone still likes you even when you're angry.
Oh, God.
Yeah, give us that Gamma recap.
Oh, man. I work with professionals. This is a professional show. Let's kick it off as we've done the past few weeks with the Gfinity Elite Series. We entered the semifinals last weekend, not the quarters. As I have on the screen, because I am dumb. Nordavind took care of Ares easily 4-0, behind once again strong performances from Phenom and Momi. Fnatic with the 4-2 win over Envious in the other semifinal. Akainu pulling out a couple of clutch wins. Mr. Crimson trying to do it for Envious, but didn't get enough help. So this Saturday, at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, we will have the grand final between Nordavind and Fnatic. I believe the winner gets £20,000.
Wow.
$15,000 if my conversion. $15,000 U.S. Nice. If I remember correctly.
Nice. You'll be watching, Steve?
Yeah. I have Saturday off. So, wait, do I have Saturday off? Yes, I do. So I will be watching.
Well, that'll be helpful when you recap it next week.
It might. Let's kick it over to Saigon Cup. This was the only Pro Tour event this weekend. The Tekken World Tour went dark as it prepares to go to Korea for the Korean Master event. So all of the spotlight was on Saigon Cup, and it's NL. Not the Korean player you'd necessarily expect to take it, but he took it over Fudo in the grand final. Bon Chan third, Big Bird finally getting a somewhat strong result. You know, he went to one of the earlier events, only got 1 point making top eight. Here he got a little farther, another deep turn, another strong field, but able to take something back with him. Unfortunately for Hot Dog and John Takeuchi, they are the ones with a single point.
And I think this is Hot Dog's second time in a row getting 1 point, right? I mean, geez.
Yeah.
Before we go any further, guys, I'm sorry. Hold that thought. Shouts to Take the Bus for the 1 bit. Shouts to Rabbi Chang for the 200 bits. And John, quit throwing his fucking bits. Pay attention. You're on the show, goddammit. What's the problem, dude? 1 point is better than no points.
1 point is actually not really better than no points, as it turns out. It's actually, statistically, it's about exactly the same. They are both worth nothing as far as winning the Capcom Pro Tour goes as it comes to shows. So, yes, by getting 7th place at Saigon Cup, you did absolutely nothing statistically to change your odds of getting in the Capcom Cup. It's a bit crazy to me. I mean, this tournament, I mean, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I'm pretty sure it had less than 100 entrants. It was something.
Did you watch
like,
this tournament?
I did watch. I watched the top eight, at least. It was a hype tournament. It was like 70 to 80 players, and 60 of them or so were like really damn good. Like in the old era of the FGC, those are guys that would have, you know, easily coasted through their pools. But at this point, with the way the tournaments are flowing, you know, you have more concentrated good players at tournaments, but less points to grab. Mm. And so it's really hard, and it really just comes down to how top eight shakes out that day as to who's going to walk away with anything towards Capcom Cup.
You know, one thing that stood out for me watching this was Big Bird using Ken. I thought that was a good character not to be used, and everybody should boycott him.
He played three different characters, I think. He played Ken, he played Rashid, and I think he played some Zeku. So
he was doing work with that Ken.
Yeah, I mean, his Ken is still great. And I mean, for as much as I particularly rail on the game for different things, I mean, the balance is such that most characters can at least do something at high level. I mean, we've seen it with Infiltration's Jury.
Is Ken in the viable tier at this point? With Cammy, or I'm sorry, with like Rashid and Abigail falling down a little bit, and Ken, like, I know he got a nerf to like something, but he also got like juggle properties off of his step kick and stuff like that, right? And so then potentially more damage in single interactions. Is he viable tier?
I think he's like the very bottom of viable tier, if you're going to ask me. He's like one of those. He has a fireball, he has a DP, he has decent enough footsie and pressure tools that like he can win in the hands of a good player, but I mean, he's suboptimal for sure. He doesn't do a whole lot better than Akuma. So, like, you probably should pick Akuma, but I do think that Ken can, you know, make top eights as we've seen it be proven.
Dr. Manhattan, do you have an opinion on it?
How many more colors are we going to get?
I mean, we saw a character I don't think is viable at all. Where did Bonchan get? Third or fourth?
Second, like twice.
He's gotten second. He's gotten third. He's doing incredible. He'll quite likely make the Capcom Cup despite, you know, playing a character that I definitely don't think is viable and think is quite bad.
So what is he doing? And this is something you wanted to talk about. I think you put this on the rundown, John. That match in particular, right? Let me refresh my remember here. The Bonchan, Fudo, Haitani tier list. No, that was something else entirely.
Oh, yeah.
But Bonchan using Nash, he's making it work.
Well, like, I think we should take the opportunity to talk about this because I agree that Nash is probably a lower tier character, even after this most recent patch, although we'll see how things kind of play out. As a Nekali player, I think I have a little bit of a hard time because Nash controls the space, the horizontal space so well, right, with his sonic booms and whatnot, similar to kind of like Guile, but just not quite as good. But I find myself struggling against Nash players a lot online. And so I wonder, like, what is it that the character like doesn't have? What does he need right now?
The problem he really has is similar to Guile, but way more exacerbated, which is that in matchups where the character can deal with his fireball, like a Balrog or like a Manat, it's just so difficult for him to do anything because that is like literally the only move that starts everything he has at this point because his dashes aren't very good anymore. His pokes are pretty slow and mediocre. If he can't throw the fireball constantly, which, you know, versus Nekali, he can pull off, but versus Balrog, what does he do? You know, if you can't throw the fireball and you get punished for it, he's just, you know, bad arms and legs.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Supermoon subbed during the second ago.
Hey.
He's only subbing because he's
super new.
He's gonna get mentioned later.
I'll tell you here in a second. Gotta look, bro. You don't be so angry though, Steve.
Hey, seriously. I'm blocking here.
Coopermon.
Supermoon.
Coopermon, and now.
Zalbog and Cooper Moon, thank you.
Zalbog, Bolv. Appreciate you guys. We need to get another Clapperoonie, you're right. Bro, you're radioactive.
But yeah, Bonchan is obviously the exception to a lot of rules and a very fantastic player who gets things done with characters who are not usually.
I can't wait for him to get his hands on Sagat.
Yeah, I really hope Sagat's good, and I hope that, you know, he finds a good fit with that.
So we do want to take a look here at the current standings, including all those one-point hot dogs. Steve, is that where we're going next? Is that where you're taking us next?
Yeah, let's take a look, our first look on the show at least, at the global standings. You see Tokido obviously well out in front, as well as Infiltration. Those two, you have to believe they've already done enough to punch a ticket to Capcom Cup, but... you look at where the cutoff's going to be. It's going to be right around when it's all said and done, probably the 28-29 mark for making it in on points. It's going to come down to who wins those regional finals as well. But we're about an eighth of the way through the season, and 41 points is the marker right now. So you extend it out, you have to think at least 400 under the best case scenario, and it will probably go higher.
Yeah,
it will go higher once some players realize exactly how much they need to get in order to qualify. So, like you were saying, you're not going to qualify one point at a time. It's almost like a waste of a weekend if you don't at least get top three, top two.
But what about the knowledge gleaned from the matches you played?
Well, of course.
That has value. Are you saying what if the real Capcom Pro Tour is the friends we made along the way?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Now, my real question is, what's first place for a ranking event?
First place for a ranking event is 150.
Dang.
Which still, I mean, if you won three ranking events, you probably wouldn't make it, you know, if that was all you did. Of course, you probably would make it because you probably do well at other tournaments, but... that probably wouldn't make you in. So,
and again, we've tried on occasion to put ourselves in the mindset of the people who made the rules for this season. The idea maybe was, okay, if we do this, more bodies will flock to ranking events because all the pros won't be there. Has that shaken out, or is that a improper premise to even start with?
I mean, you look at most of the ranking events we've had so far. It's been killer, 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 killer all the way through top eight. So if the goal was to spread out the talent, that's not happening, at least yet. We'll see how that shakes out once we get further into the season, because we're coming up on a weekend, first one in a while, where we have multiple CPT events. So go ahead.
I think I understand where the idea may have lied, which is, I think that we heard the complaint that, you know, there weren't enough important tournaments. There was Evo and there was Capcom Cup and everything else kind of blended together. And I think they wanted to turn premieres into those big, big events. And I think in a way they did. But the problem is these sponsored players and the ones that you end up watching in top 8 and top 16 are flying around to all of them anyway. So the only difference between a premiere and that is the amount of points they're getting, but not really anything else, because they're still going to these ranking events, you know, and it's just a smaller proportion of other people traveling there as well. So as Steve said, you know, you just get the ranking events at this point are just the pure killer brackets instead of the, you know, local regional area around them that maybe they used to be. Go ahead.
The other thing I would point out is saying that I think what they wanted to do was increase the importance of ranking events and lower or increase premier event importance and lower ranking event performance or importance a little bit in terms of making it in, because they didn't want people to just stomp on one region and get in that way. Mm-hmm. The problem is, I think they went way too far in taking down the importance of ranking events to the point where grand finals is almost the only match that matters in terms of making Capcom Cup. And that's something I did mention when they first announced these changes. It will probably be something I mention throughout the year, but It is what it is.
If they want something like this, I think they have to create more subregions, or they have to do it when the game is newer and when more people are going to show up and enter these tournaments to be pot monsters. Because right now, all it did is just make the point system weird for certain tournaments when the players are all the same. Because in reality, NL is going to be fighting, Itazan is going to be fighting, you know, Moke is going to be fighting all these good players in the finals, whether it's worth 1,000 points or whether it's worth 100 points. So it's just really unfortunate that it comes down to, like, who did better on the more important weekend when it's the same matches going on. Because, I mean, everyone who made top 8 here could do extremely well at a premiere.
We have a question in the chat. How is it possible that Fudo hasn't won a major yet?
He actually tweeted about that himself. He said that he thinks that, you know, when victory is in sight, he plays worse, and that that is going to be the next thing he works on. Because, I mean, Fudo is, in a lot of ways, I mean, easily a top five SF5 player in the history of the game in terms of consistency of results, in terms of where he's gotten those results. He got second at the first Evo, of course, you know, and he's done well the entirety of the time, and he's kind of making a big explosion back with some of the Mika buffs he got in Season 3. But he has never won. He's gotten second. It has to be 5-10 times. I mean, it's hopefully, I really hope for him, and I think a lot of people hope for him at this point that he does it. And yeah, Mika's not really a villain character anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that she used to be. So I think people are excited for it.
Steve, where were we on the recap?
We just went over the global standings.
Yeah.
Let's take it over to, I keep wanting to call it Naptown Clutch. Clutch 18. Be, yeah. The tournament series formerly known as Naptown Clutch in Indianapolis took place this weekend. You had quite a bit going on. You had Splash beating Arturo Sanchez in Street Fighter V for that win. Dual Kevin taking Marvel Infinite. Jody the Great winning Tekken 7. But the big story of the weekend was Sonic Fox winning in Injustice 2. Winning in Dragon Ball FighterZ over DaKill Sage, who had some news come out, which we'll get to. Not only was that impressive, but the big story was that he did all of that in a fursuit. Yeah, he actually played in a fursuit for at least top 8. He won. Like,
that's wild. Like,
That face is exactly it. Like, what
now? Does he see out of the mouth or out of the eyes? I don't know how this works. I guess I don't even really want to.
You're asking the wrong guy. I'm sorry. I'm sure I could probably spend like 30 seconds on Google and figure it out. I don't want to spend those 30 seconds on Google right now.
You know, guys, I'm having a little bit of trouble with this. I'm trying to be open, but to me, it just seems a little bizarre. Like, oh man, I think it's great. But I'm also just conflicted, guys.
Who cares?
Tell me to talk me through this.
Rick Fox said it was cool and got Sonic Fox like 10K Twitter followers by doing that. So yeah, works for me.
Here's the thing. If you got a problem with it, beat him.
Yeah, you
got
to beat him, Efren.
Yeah.
All right, I'm on a mission.
Specifically, you get on the sticks and beat him. This is a guy who is basically, he's not only talking smack, but he's like the best kind of trash talker. He says exactly what he's going to do, and he does it. And it's great to see that. You know, you may get sick of Sonic Fox winning all the time, but somebody's got to take the throne from him. And until someone does, he's going to be able to go around in fursuits, and hopefully they don't advance in specifications, these suits. But, yeah.
Just to be clear, I have no problem with furries or the fact that I'm proud of this guy for expressing himself. My issue with it is the spectacle and the distraction of it at a fighting game tournament. I guess that's part of it, but that to me is like, man, you're like...
What do you mean by the distraction?
I think that, you know, it's like almost overshadowing the event itself.
Well, we had a guy winning at doing well at a King of Fighters tournament in a dinosaur head. Like, this isn't new. This isn't special. It's just getting extra attention because it's Sonic Fox.
All right. I'm just going to have to get woke, get into the 2018 mindset. I'm coming along, guys. I'm an old man. It takes me a little longer.
I'm older than you!
You're also... I have a gif of you, too.
Oh, really? Really?
Just because of the color, man. Do a cut back to him. There it is. You're in better shape than him. Not feeling it, Steve? I apologize.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say that this is my final episode of Best of Five. It's a pleasure.
All right. Back to the show. Actually, we have a, what some might even call a bit of a commercial break. Check this out, guys. This is a new sponsor we have.
Now, I haven't seen this in its entirety, so.
Well, you're missing out.
I feel like I am.
Have those ever worked?
Hey, guys. Today we're not going to talk about Street Fighter. Today we're going to be talking about fitness.
Oh, man.
Is that like one of those automatic ab crunchers?
Yes,
things?
Yes, it's
did
an
you know
automatic
that Cristiano Ronaldo
cruncher.
Came up with this technology? You didn't know that, did you?
Well, it's
no,
kind of
I
interesting.
Did not know that.
This is one of those things where it's like back from the 80s, you know, music and all. Like these used to be a big deal.
They come out every few years.
Shan has gotten a lot of flack for this, I think.
I thought it was a joke.
I thought it was a joke too, but it's not a joke. And he's gotten a lot of flack for it. It's definitely peddling.
Now, hold
what
on.
A lot of people would consider snake oil.
Hold on. Hold on right now. This dude is promoting a healthy lifestyle wherein we all have fit as fuck abs. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
If he gets abs, then great. But guess what's not going to probably happen? But I think, I mean, that could become a meme if we stick on this. Like, every time Shen goes up on streams, like, everyone's like, show us your abs. Do it.
And what if he pulls his shirt up and he's got, like, a ripped ass stomach?
Then
you're going to feel like an idiot.
Then we can't talk shit.
People,
then
people
he
better
can do whatever
get used
he wants,
to this.
Just like Sonic Fox.
I don't know. If you ever watch football, go look up Dak Prescott's Twitter. Some of these football players, some of these basketball players have been doing things way more questionable than this 30 times a day. For the last 50 years. So if you want esports to take over, then you better get used to it.
Because
shilling random products is a thing that happens for money.
I respect the hustle. If we go back to this Capcom Pro Tour standings, not every name on here has a team sponsor or anything on it, right?
Absolutely.
For example, Knuckaloo, Gachikun, there's a bunch of other names on there. If, in fact, we are in the golden age of making money off the FGC, whether it's going to continue or not, You can't knock the hustle, man. This dude's going to get abs and get paid. What are you doing?
I mean, as long as it's, there's nothing really to say. I think it became a little more of an argument because Danny Pham from Seattle, who is, a bodybuilder, said that he thought that he was peddling a...
Oh, really?
Yeah, peddling snake oil. He said
so
it's
like one of those things that, like, tightens your
shit? He said that it was a product that doesn't work, that it was fake, and that it was, going against the Fit FGC campaign, which is, I think, what started the argument.
Yo, Cristiano Ronaldo wears it, bro.
I'm not going to really weigh in. I don't know anything about the science of Cristiano Ronaldo's ab cruncher, but there's where we are.
Congrats on Shen for getting some money. That's what it is.
That's what
good,
saying,
good for
bro.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just got to be in mind or keep in mind, excuse me, whenever you accept some of these sponsorship deals, you got to know what you're getting into, because when you're putting your face out there, attaching it to this product, if there's issues with the product, then that's going to bounce back to you. This isn't uncommon to see this sort of thing. You know, I've seen countless Twitter profiles in and out of the FGC promoting some sort of new gamer fuel / gamer.
Yeah, and those had lead in them.
Nutritional product. I saw someone promoting something called Gamer Goo.
Gamer Goo.
I wish I was making
badges?
That up.
I think it's inevitable. It's inevitable in the early stages, especially, that all that stuff's going to come flying in, and us as brand new to this whole scene and this idea, we're gonna flock to it. We're gonna, whoa, this is cool. This is shiny. There's money in it. Great, let's do it. And then if we stick around in the esports scene for a while, people will wise up, and it'll just become like, everything else, where there'll be some stupid stuff, but mostly legit products. But for the beginning, of course, this kind of stuff is going to happen. Of course, like, as soon as they come forward with something, people are going to jump on it for the sake of getting some money, because they don't know any better.
So let's bring us back to fighting games. That was a nice departure from our not really new sponsor, App Crunchers. I wanted to show this clip from Saigon Cup, and this will bring us back to some Dragon Ball stuff. Check out this hype as fuck pop-off. Are you guys ready for the most hype pop-off you've ever seen? Because you're about to see it. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself.
Did you just do a level 3 to interrupt?
Watch this. You ready for the hype? Here it comes.
You know Ada's my favorite player, right?
Turn it out. Here we go again, in case you missed it.
No, you know Ada's literally my favorite player, right? Like, no, I go 100%. He is my hero of the FGC, and I have very few of them. He's like the only player I actively root for.
Well, there you go.
So there you go. I loved it. I loved it. I loved his poison cosplay. The guy is a nut, and I love every bit of it.
And he's hilarious. In movies now.
And he's in movies now. And he has the best anti-air of any fighting game player in history.
Anti-air?
Anti-air. You've never seen someone successfully jump in on Ada.
Ever?
Pretty much. That's why he was able to make Capcom Cup.
Even like
he's the DP god.
All right. Well, that was going to bring us back to this bit of news, but you kind of already talked about it at the top of the show. So to recap, Mike is excited about the release of this character and the campaign run by Arxis with respect to this game and the rollout of their characters and yada, yada, yada. Why don't we move on to this bit of Dragon Ball news. Is Goku coming to Smash? Now, I just took a screen grab, but this last one says that the studio behind the game, or somebody, I think Toei Animation, retweeted it. Now, that might just be a show of support, or it might mean confirmed Goku's coming to Smash. I say, what? You'd be pumped, right? You'd be a Smasher again day one with Goku in the game.
I love Smash.
I bet you do.
It's my favorite party game. God damn it. But...
Laughed Donka.
Yeah, no, Goku would be cool. I mean, I there's not really any memes to say here. Like, if you don't want Goku in Smash at this point, you're an idiot. Like, it's cool. And, like, the precedent for having any character you could imagine in Smash has already been, it's already come true, so why not?
I wonder if they would ever put T-Hawk in Smash. He'd be a good character.
Goku would be wild, though. That would be, like, the next level. Like, they've put anime in Smash now. Because they've gone everywhere in video games you could think of going.
That's true. They have indeed.
Yeah. And like I've said before, you know, the best thing about Smash, whatever your opinion on it as a fighting game, what Smash does better than almost any game out there is whenever they add a character from a series, that character is essentially a love letter to that series. The amount of care they put in, the amount of thought that goes into their moveset, the music, the visuals, I really feel like that would be a great marriage of something with a lot of lore to play with,
bringing it into the world of Smash.
It's fun to think about at the very least. You know, even if it might not happen, I don't personally think it will. I think they're just stirring the pot, but it's fun to think about.
For sure. Also, Donka just subbed to the channel, so you get a Picard. And a half-assed toe. Don't apply yourself, dude. Look at that.
Hey, he's supporting us. Of course he should.
Turquoise Donka. Nice, Donka.
Turquoise mine.
I appreciate the sub, Mike. Thank you. It's rare we get to thank somebody who subs to our channel. No,
we got one regular hand.
All right, back to the show. We have some player signings. Let's talk about that. Why not? Let's talk about that, guys. What do you think?
Okay, let's talk about it.
So we have, you were talking about this one, NRG is signing some DBZ fighters, DBZ players.
Hook Gang God.
Yeah, Hook Gang God, who has been the, so far, you know, uncontested second best player in New York after Sonic Fox, pretty much getting,
uncontested second place guy. Got
he
it.
Is he's qualified. Hook Gang God and Reynald are the ones who qualified for Summit of Power via winning tournaments. And then Super Noon got third at NCR, which was, like, you know, probably the second biggest tournament after Final Round so far. So these have been two guys who have proven themselves so far. Both of them, you know, Super Noon known for games before, and Hook Gang God known for totally being hype in this new game and known for his Piccolo, like I am right now. So, you know, these are big pickups as far as DBFZ goes, but bigger than the pickups for NRG is NRG as a pickup for DBFZ, right? Mm. Like, I mean, it's kind of more of a big deal for the community itself that, you know, Shaq's team, the team that sponsors Nairo and the team that hasn't sponsored a traditional fighting game player before, has decided to go ahead and pick up two players for an anime game before they ever pick up a Street Fighter game. And, you know, that combined with the news that it has more entrants at Evo than Street Fighter, that it's had more entrants at several tournaments than Street Fighter, that it's, you know, such a big deal is really being like, wow, like, this could be the first time something like this has gotten the limelight back from Capcom.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a matter of time, and Street Fighter V kind of set the stage to have that limelight taken. Let's take a look at this. Some of the power, players' eligibility for the nomination.
Oh, wait! Before we get to that,
yeah,
there was another signing too. I kind of teased it, but Echo Fox, they picked up the Kill Sage.
That's right.
Gets reunited with his buddy Sonic Fox. Remember back in the days of Team CR, Critical Reaction, the gang is back together. And on the back of this news, Spooky came out and he announced that tomorrow night at NLBC, there will be an exhibition. I forget if it's first to five or first to 10, between Hook Gang God and the Kill Sage.
Dang.
It'll be for $100 and I believe an obsidian stick.
John, who you got in that first to 10?
I haven't really watched either one, but I am interested in the sense that, like, because didn't the Kill Sage get second place at the major he was just at, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Hook Gang God's Mr. Second Place, the Sonic Fox. So the winner of that will be the undisputed second place champion of DBZ, which is pretty cool. I'm excited to see who that's going to be.
I thought Sonic Fox was the undisputed second place champion.
Oh, well, that's in the global scale.
If we're going on a global scale, yeah, Sonic Fox is the king of second.
This can be for third place.
It is interesting. I think Hook Gang God would probably win.
Really?
Yeah, I think he would win pretty easily, honestly. I think it's a...
Easily?
I think he's much better.
Easy. Hey, look.
Just from watching, I think he's a lot better than the Kill Sage. I think the Kill Sage probably will eventually be quite good, but currently that's what I think.
Tell me, homie, what's going on in your shirt here now that we have the white shot on us? Goofy? Rasta Goofy? The back of Rasta Goofy?
Is okay. Just the back of Rasta Goofy.
Now, just a quick question. What's going on right here? Usually there's only one head hole in the neck.
Well, you know, I hulked out too hard and we ripped the shirt.
Yeah? Okay.
Who's we?
Me and the Hulk. Because I'm Bruce, right? It's like two entities, or is it? I don't know anything about comics.
Same guy. All right. So, those are the signings.
But what was it? Thought I had something I was going to say about it.
So Energy signed Hook Gang God and Super Noon. Echo Fox signs to Kill Sage. And there's an exhibition match between to Kill Sage and Hook Gang God tomorrow.
Oh, it was the opt-ins I was going to talk about.
Yeah, well, let's go back to these opt-ins. Or rather, the people who are eligible to be nominated. Are you going to be at any of these tournaments? And are you going to win any?
I think this is stupid. And I mean, I wouldn't opt in anyway.
It's a couple episodes ago you said that that's how you're gonna
I
get
actually
in.
Have like something I'm doing the same weekend as Summit of Power, so I actually couldn't go even if I were to opt in. I probably wouldn't.
Sure.
But I do think this is stupid because I think that, and I don't think it'll matter that much. I think most of the people would vote for have gone and placed in these tournaments, but to expect people to have gone to these tournaments within this, you know, 1 month time period basically seems extreme to be the only way to be voted in. There are top players, I mean, such as, you know, Lord Knight, who are not currently eligible for this because, you know, they got a hard pull at one tournament and they didn't go to the others. There's tons of people that people would want to see in the Summit. And they kind of weaseled in a few of these tournaments so that people would be guaranteed to make it. You know, like, LK will probably get top 16 at Super TSB. It will not be that big of a tournament. But I just don't see the point in this. I don't think it really weeds anything out that well.
As far as, like, the social media half of it, like, having a big group of names that you can, you know, have a bunch of people voting for, that's probably going to get a lot of play on the old tweeters.
And I don't see how you can run that without having some sort of cutoff, you know, some sort of qualifier. Otherwise, you know, you'll have people nominating me, which don't do that.
Ooh.
Please don't.
Because I guarantee you, for example, that I could have gotten top 32 in a couple of these tournaments or top 16. 100% sure. And, you know, I couldn't even opt in if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And
because it was like within a month. Same weekend.
Yeah, the Rip Shirt convention is that weekend. Why am I purple now? What relevance does that have?
I don't know. Skull Vikings.
I feel for Steve now. It's just like you come back, you don't even know what you're going to be after every frame. It's like, what?
I love how upset you're getting. You should become red.
This is at least
maybe he needs to be red.
And especially, yeah, for you're Japanese players. Like Koji KOG, yeah. Like tons of players who couldn't have possibly made it to any of these tournaments. They had like one opportunity with final round. And they won't be able to opt in. I just don't see the point.
Well,
it doesn't matter. As I said, it doesn't really matter.
What would you do in order to get those guys an opportunity? Like, is there a realistic solution? Because I absolutely
maybe
what you're
if you get like 100, maybe if you can pre opt in and you can be like, hey, can I opt in? And you get 50 or 100 votes to do that, then you get through. You know, that would be. I think that's a pretty easy solution. All you're doing is opt. I understand why they don't want like 20,000 names on there, but if you just have some sort of vetting that determines who's seriously opting in and deserves, you know, a place in the opt-in and who isn't, I think that would be better than the current system where you have to. It'd be one thing if we had a year's worth of results where they were doing this off of, but within, you know, the time span they have, it's very possible that a player who could easily be on this level just hasn't had the ability to make it out to those tournaments.
This specific event had done no wrong by Mike until this part.
It's not a big deal. I mean, it really isn't. And most of the, like, everyone who's relevant and would get voted in does have a spot. So it's one of those things where I'm complaining about the principle, but in reality, it doesn't matter.
Hey, did you hear the guys that the FGC is getting some movies? I didn't. Steve, you want to fill me in?
Yeah, there's not one bit of FGC people in movie news, but two. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Nine Road. This is a movie that involves that Daigo's involved in. Kuroda and Eita are going to be involved in it as well. It's a movie that looked like it was sort of loosely based off of Q in Third Strike, but they just released a much longer trailer a few days ago.
How is this not like the movie? It's a 16-minute long trailer.
Japanese trailers are no joke, man. There are English subtitles on it as well. I'll put the YouTube link in the chat right here. But yeah, it's a legitimate movie.
Go ahead and finish your thought, but I have a question for you.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, a bunch of guys shooting something in the back in like some back alley. This is actually a legitimate movie that they're making, and it's pretty cool to see, you know, whether you like this particular direction or not, you know, it's interesting.
What's it and about?
You were saying it doesn't seem like it's about Q. Isn't Q in the trailer this time?
Yeah, but what I was saying is it looked like it was going to be like directly based off a Third Strike. This is gonna be in a completely different direction. So,
Crescent EXE says that guy looks baked as fuck.
your ability to choose comments to read is truly second to none. I mean, you have actual. Was that Q?
That was Q. I mean, he's probably just seeing him.
Yeah,
yeah.
I guess it probably is Q.
Was a cutie pie? Is what it is.
And of course, Kuroda, known for being like the absolute best Third Strike player, and more specifically, though, he can play the entire cast probably better than most everybody else. But known for his Q, I think more than anyone, right? And Q being like a lower tier character, it's kind of, I don't know, just pretty poetic that it would come to this from a guy playing like a lower tier character and just being so amazing at it that here's this video, like a movie about it, you know?
Oh, someone's saying in the chat that yeah, because Nine is Q in Japanese, and so oh. Kuroda is Kuroda.
I'm fast forwarding. I'm doing like, double time on this, just to see if I can get some Q imagery. Where's that guy at? Dude, he's a bunch of body on the ground. Yo, there's
that was Eita, right? Yeah,
let's go back.
Eita, I think, is like a reporter, if I remember. Like he's going trying to figure out the story, and then Kuroda's like a guy that like survived this. I think a guy that survived this scientific explosion, and I don't know.
He's got like R2 trash can head or something. Oh.
And then Q's looking for his heart. Like, he doesn't have a heart, but he wants to go visit this great and powerful dude that's going to give him, like, a new heart.
Oh, that sounds a little familiar.
Let's see if I can get his DPs back.
Oh, well, look. Dude.
So this is basically The Wizard of Oz, but with Eita in it.
Look. Dude.
Oh, shit. And then Kuroda beats the shit out of Eita? Is that what this is?
I think that just happened, man.
I kind of want to believe that wasn't part of the movie, yeah. But they just did that, and they're just rolling anyway, so we'll throw it in. We'll throw it in.
I'm trying to find me some more Q.
This is wild. They should have hired me for this.
yeah, but you had a prior obligation.
I'm a little
course.
Upset. Yeah, I had a prior obligation. Oh, hi, but...
Ada. Yo,
I would have played any.
Here?
In fact, if they want to reshoot some scenes, I'll play anyone in the movie. I'll take anyone's role.
Female lead?
Female lead.
Look at this guy. Dude, help this man. Look at these masked sons of guns over here. I need more Q in my life.
Don't say bitches.
Sons of guns, dude. Come on. This is a PG show. All right, that's exciting.
Well, yeah, it's kind of, it's like very, it seems very tangential as far as its relation to fighting games, but it is cool to see, you know.
Oh, look, some fighting.
Ada and Kuroda making it into a movie about.
And it's on the street.
Q. Yeah, there's some fighting on the street. Look at this. Oh, man. Harry. That was a whiff. Look at this.
Oh, that is not a good poke.
Now, what did you say Daigo's relation to this was again?
He's the EP on it, man. Executive producer.
He's the producer on it. Okay, very cool.
He put the bucks in.
Yeah, it's brought to you by Daigo, the Beast TV.
Beast TV, yeah.
If you guys have any ideas for best of five movies, just shoot those at our Twitter, at best.
You look like Bart Simpson.
It's not even green or yellow. Come on.
Yeah, it's that really gross green-yellow that nobody likes.
It's the green-yellow I watched when I missed the show.
Cool. All right.
And
more movie news. Moving on, Steve. I need you to set this up for me, please.
All right. A while back, we heard about this movie in, we thought, production called Last Hit. It was a movie involving an MMA fighter as well as Justin Wong, Kayane, and Luffy. That movie actually just announced a Indiegogo campaign this past week. They're looking to raise $40,000 to help complete funding of their movie, which will, they say, begin production either late this year or early next year. It features Elias Thedrow. I probably butchered that name badly.
Teodoro? I don't know.
Yeah. Who is an MMA fighter. It's going to feature cameos from the names I mentioned, as well as Z. The plot, from what we've seen so far, is that Elias is an MMA fighter who takes, let me find the exact quote.
Gamer goo?
He takes gamer goo. He is a hyper-competitive MMA fighter who is, quote, paralyzed by a near-fatal kick to the taint.
What? Wait, what?
Wait, damn
yeah,
it.
It's a real slow news week, huh?
So in his recovery, he turns to the world of Street Fighter V. And he runs into Justin, he runs into Kayane, Luffy, all these other people. He also runs into a toxic gamer bro who destroys him. And the whole plot of the movie is him grinding up and leveling up to get his rematch at Canada.
It sounds
Cup.
Like the DDR movie, the FP.
I don't know if
did you ever see that? That was a great movie. Sounds exactly like that.
I heard about it once. I never watched it. I need to now, though.
You should.
Last Hit the movie, the story of a dude who just wouldn't give up. When a hyper-competitive MMA fighter is paralyzed by a near-fatal kick to the taint, his
you
life falls apart.
I thought I was
apart.
Making that up. No. That's...
In order to reclaim his dignity, he takes up professional fighting games. That's where I go when I want my dignity back. Comes to love the community and must defeat a toxic pro video gamer at the largest fighting game tournament in the world. Texas Showdown. Jeez. That's probably not going to have any trouble getting funded, so I look forward to that.
Well... Also, Lap Chi is a co-producer on this.
Oh, that's cool.
They're going to be doing some shooting at Canada Cup this year. So, and I believe that's going to be the site of the big showdown at the end. I'm assuming. I don't know.
All right. That's been your movie news for this edition of Best of Five. Let's move on to some pop bonuses because why not? Combo Breaker. MK9 and XL. Steve, what you got, pal?
You're seeing it on the screen.
Mortal Kombat 9 and XL at Combo Breaker 2018 with a $2,500 pop bonus from NetherRealms and WB Games. Register today. The only thing that I'm surprised by is they're still playing Mortal Kombat 9.
It's because Rick the Hado, it's one of his absolute favorite games. I was talking to him at NorCal Regionals, and I don't know if it's his favorite because KI is up there too. But yeah, I think that's what it is. That like it's just sentimental for him. He's like, screw it, it's my tournament. I'm gonna have it here. And I think it gets pretty good numbers too. And people,
He's done such a good job making it so that like people know like if Rick's gonna run a side game at Combo Breaker, everyone who plays that game goes. Like, they know that it will be treated well enough that it's worth going to. And so, you know, like, everyone who has any interest in playing MK9 is going to go there because that's the tournament you go to play MK9. What I'm impressed by is that Warner Bros. And NetherRealms are willing to support MK9 at all. I think that's cool. We've seen tons of issues with Nintendo refusing to support Melee and trying to take it off of circuits and, you know, getting Project M, which is obviously different, it's a ROM hack, but getting Project M taken off of streams entirely. So to see NetherRealms be like, yeah, I don't care if we ever make another dollar off of this game. Here's $2,500 for this tournament. I think that's cool. I think it shows something good. I think it's probably not a big drop out of their pockets, so why not? And I think it's nice, right?
And it's local, too, right? Isn't this all based in Chicago, including NetherRealm Studios? What do I feel like Ed Boon is a Chicago guy?
Midway was Chicago.
Got it.
And so I don't know if NetherRealm still is, but, you know, Ed Boon has a big history, and the entire Mortal Kombat scene is, you know, from Chicago, so...
It's probably a testament also to Rick's relationship that he's built with these organizations. That's pretty badass.
Yeah. They're still based in Chicago.
Okay, cool.
So what's really impressive about this to me, at least, is that this isn't just any old game. You know, this is NRS, this is Warner Brothers throwing some money at a game that isn't their feature game when they're already throwing money at their feature game. This is going to be the first event of the Injustice Pro series. So they're already throwing some support to the games or to the event's way. They've already got all of the Mortal Kombat NetherRealm killers coming out there. So they really didn't have to do this. So it's really impressive to me saying, hey, you know, this game, this is the 2 games ago and 4 games ago, but we're still going to throw a little bit of love your way, even though it doesn't really bring much in terms of return for us.
All right. Well, that's neat. I keep putting it off talking about E-League, and I'm going to hold off a little longer. Did y'all see this new wild-ass costume for Bison?
Yeah, we're not sure if it's actually real or not either. Like, if it's just a mod or if it's like one of the.
Because it looks pretty advanced for a mod.
It looks good, and it's the kind of. Like, it's from Super Ghouls and Ghosts, right? It's like the. I forget the name of the bad guy, but he's like the main boss. And it's M. Bison there, as you can see. But, and so that's what Capcom is doing with the extra battle costumes. They're taking characters from other games, and they're making costumes for, you know, the Street Fighter characters. So it makes total sense, but I mean. I guess it would be a leak, and maybe it is. Maybe it's out of like this Falk download patch that we just got. Maybe people have already found this kind of a thing, but I don't think there's been any official news from Capcom on
it. It's probably in the files of the Falk patch. They've been pretty bad about not hiding stuff. So
either way, it's pretty gnarly. I guess.
I mean, let's remember that the season 1 DLC characters were found out in the beta. So I mean, this is old. Okay, this one really pisses me off because this isn't even like a different color. This is like a halfway to another color. It's like regular me, but like a little bit purpler.
Yeah, that's going on.
This is what I got to deal with every week. Welcome to my world.
Anyway, let's do a not block grab but blocker grab on that costume. You like it?
I like it. It's crazy. I could see why someone would be like grossed out by it, but I think it's cool. I mean, it does walk that fine line of like, is this Bison at all? Like, can you tell it's Bison? And I do kind of have a problem with that. And if someone was like, this is banned from tournament, I would understand that. So
what about like Rashid, Beautiful Joe Rashid?
I think that's in the same category? I think it's in the same category where I could understand why they wouldn't allow it. It's like, it's really weird. And it makes it hard for the opponent.
Is this kind of how it makes you feel when you see that costume?
You know, with these costumes that Bison has, with these like royal looking robes, and this one appears to have that. I think his like devil one, where it's his most recent Halloween one. it looks good. It looks great. Don't get me wrong. But when you're playing with it, the way the cape robe thing like works, it moves weird and it really throws me off. So some of these costumes, while they look good, can really be off-putting. And obviously we saw that probably the most in Street Fighter IV with Blanka's carnival costume. But I'd really appreciate if that like wasn't a thing. Like, sure, make them look good, but at the same time, don't make it affect the gameplay or affect the ability to see the character. Yeah. That should be like a number one priority with this kind of stuff. So I'm a little wary if this is real and if that's a problem with it. But other than
what
that,
what is your Nicali costume, John?
Hey, I'm blocking.
Which one do I use?
Yeah.
Usually
Ace
the
and bounced out of the stream somehow.
Nice, good for him. Usually I use the Capcom Pro Tour one, but I think that the Wolfman Nicali one is amazing.
That's my favorite one.
It really goes with Nicali. Like, it just totally makes sense, so I appreciate it. And I'm hoping they'll give him a new one soon, because I'm very happy with the ones they've done so far, but it's been quite a while, so.
Am I back?
You tell us, pal.
I don't know. I can't see if I'm back or not.
It doesn't look like you are. And in the meantime, I'm going to entertain the audience with the these badass new
walk animations. Oh, my God.
So, okay, so this is funny looking, and you're going to react. Like, the community's going to react to this. But I'm also saw immediately people commenting, like almost every character has this kind of a thing, like this little, like, sub-step. And you said it too, right, in the chat, Mike. And it's like, it's not that big a deal.
Nah, it's hilarious.
And the only reason that I race to say that is because where Capcom stands right now with his visuals and execution, something like this, especially to someone that looks at it in a vacuum and says, that looks goofy, that's stupid, which it does look dumb, but I don't think this is something out of the ordinary for games like this. And with like I was saying, the history with the visuals on, you know, Ken's face, obviously everything with Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, people will put things to death because of how things look, and Capcom's especially sensitive to that right now. So I would say don't get the pitchforks out for this. Yes, it looks kind of goofy. Have a laugh at it and realize it's not the most important thing in the world and move on with it.
Okay, I've had my laugh. I'm moving on. Also, what's going on with our panel up here? I think the boxes are
I think it is. Yeah.
Back to normal. Why don't you just get colors back to normal? How do you feel about that?
I was free for like half a second.
We never should have given Alon so much power.
Yeah. But yeah, it is kind of, someone mentioned Manat's walk in the chat, and it's like, you know, it seems like Manat got so much love from Capcom as far as the way animations went. Her super, her walk, they're all like, I mean, they were, even people outside of the Street Fighter community were, you know, retweeting stuff and showing stuff about her. And then you get to Falk, and it's not nearly as good. And so, yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week, but it is weird the inconsistency of characters within the same game and the amount they got. Even from the get-go, I mean, you have, like, Zangief, who is, like, the coolest Zangief ever, versus Ken, who looks ridiculous, so.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like, since Falk, okay, so when Falk was first announced in that string of, like, you know, characters back at Capcom Cup, she looked great, fine. Like, oh, that's interesting. What's she going to do? How's she going to, like, that lipstick's a little different, but hey, it gives her some character, I guess. And then we got the reveal with the trailer, and there's a lot of negativity about her, like, critical art and animations. Wasn't the worst thing in the world, but, like, meh. And then now we've had her come out and stuff, and it looks like, or it feels like the community is kind of putting her on that, like, this is kind of like the dud-ish, not Dudley, dud character of, like, the season. And if you go back, like, maybe that was kind of like Ed from season 2.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I guess it works because she's in, like, this, like, story-wise, she's in, like, kind of the same little faction as Ed and you know, from the same mold, being a clone of Bison and such and having psycho power. I think she's got some cool things about her, both gameplay and appearance, but I think that the community is just kind of latched on to these things and are not super hyped for her. And I hope that I'm wrong on that front, but that just kind of seems like where it's at. It's like, here we got Falk, but I'm looking forward more to the future characters, or I'm going to look back on the characters that have come out more so than care about the character that's coming out right now. So it'll be interesting in the next few days, but that's how it feels.
I think part of that is based off of things like the super animation for her. And part of it is because she's Falk. She's not Sagat, she's not Cody, so I would predict that G will get a similar sort of reaction unless, you know, his animations are an outlier, either really, really good and really smooth or really, really bad.
I think G has been a point of conversation, though, since he was first released. I mean, more just like speculation on who he is.
Yeah, I think people are actually much more excited for G than they were a lot of the other new characters we've seen in a while.
So, I don't know if it was more excitement. Like, everyone kind of figured, okay, Falk's a doll, you know. So, but we really don't know anything about G. So, there was more conversation, but I don't know if it was necessarily more excitement.
Wait, is Falk actually a doll, or is she like some bison clone that, you know,
she's
wears
a clone.
Similar clothing to the dolls?
She's on that, like, team of, it's not even, I don't think it's even the dolls. I think it's like Ed and Falk and that gorilla and stuff in Ed's story or whoever.
I'm just trying to correct the lore here, because like, Steve said she was a doll and she ain't. All right, guys, this is what we got left for
the
show.
My bad.
We're going to talk about E-League. Then we're going to do a question of the day and then a block graphic.
Wait, so I forgot to mention this earlier in the chat, but do we have the Rob TV at Clutch City Clash clip?
No.
Where he took the game? You should download that.
Well, send it to me.
That's hard.
And we'll play it.
Okay.
Esteban, you got that? Juanelo, you got that?
I ain't got it.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No, why don't you enlighten us, pal?
All right. Well,
just act it out.
We'll get into it. There was a match at Clutch City Clash where his opponent, a Zangief player, had stunned him at, you know, last match, had stunned him with jab health left, like jab would have killed with a command grab. And the controller disconnected. And it doesn't even look like he hit the PlayStation button or paused. It looked like for some reason the controller disconnected. And at this point, Rob TV instantly got up, took the match, and apparently the rules of the tournament were such that, you know, the match should be taken. I don't think that's it. But it's been a hot topic. Justin Wong blew it up. I think someone just posted it in the chat. Basically, whether or not this match should have been taken. So I think it'd be better if we had... Yeah, here we go. So here's the clip. If we can pull that up somehow.
Let me pull it up here. Give me a sec.
Like, I think that, yes, that's the rule, and it makes it easy if Capcom makes that call, right? And, like, you don't even get a choice. It's not up to the players, just Capcom makes that call. But I can't, like, if it's me, if a pause happens, I'm like, just unpause it and let's keep going if it's the opponent. Like, I want to win by winning, you know? Like, I don't want to win through that crap. So
this is a really weird gray area because, I mean, obviously if it was like mid super animation, it'd be one thing where you guaranteed like it should just be over because nothing can change. This one to me, and I'm usually a huge black and white like rules guy, I could not have taken this game if I was Rob, even if the tournament had given it to me. I would have forfeited the match. I mean, this is so ludicrous that he is guaranteed to lose this because at that much health, literally a jab will kill. There's no combo he has to do. There's no execution. Theoretically, it's possible that maybe he jumps back and whiffs a command grab instead of killing him. But I don't think this is a situation. I think this is implied death after this stun and where the stun happened and where the controller disconnect happened. And I think it's ridiculous that they let this, you know, be an automatic win for Rob TV. I think it's ridiculous. I think this is so obviously a situation where the game was already won by the Zangief player, random high fives.
100%.
That it's almost disgusting to me that he would take it. Like, it makes me look like it makes me look at him differently as a person. Damn. Like, literally as a player. It really does. Like, it could be Evo, and you could tell me I was winning X amount of money, and I'd be like, no, sorry. I would 100%, like, there's no way I could take that.
Wow.
There's just no way I could take that. It's impossible.
Because it's no longer a... I mean, like, if the purpose of a tournament is to determine who the best player is, it's like, at that point, you're like, you know who won this match, right? You know who has earned the victory. And then through a technicality like that, yes, on paper, I agree, Rob TV won that match. But, like, what are you trying to get out of this, right? If you want to find out who the best is, then you go with the guy that just freaking won the
match. This is totally different, too, than, like, there are situations where you'd feel bad about it, right? Like, if you're at, like, 20% health and the other guy's at 100 and you're full screen and his controller disconnects, I can understand taking that match via the rules. They have to do that, whatever. And obviously, you could have come back. This was not that situation. He is, like, I mean, literally, he cannot move. He is stunned. The game is over by any, like, if you replay it 1,000 times,
it disconnects,
he wins.
During the animation.
Yes. If you replay it 1,000 times, that match from that situation, Random High Fives wins 1,000. literally all 1,000 by walking up and pressing down light punch. Yeah. You know, it's,
you know, I haven't watched E-League, but or Challenger rather, but I hear that Rob TV is kind of douchey on it.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Is he not? I don't know. I didn't watch it. That's just what I heard.
So I watched it. So did Steve, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I watched it.
I saw it on TV. I tuned that shit. And yeah, so I'll be watching again next time. All right, so moving on. Now let's talk about it. You know, Rob TV is on E-League, the Challenger. They're in the house.
First of all, that's a perfect personality to, I mean, whether he's being that way on purpose or not. Like, that's a very entertaining personality for a reality TV show. That's exactly who you want. That's why you grab someone like, you know, LTG and controversial people like that, and like Guilty, who's kind of known of being like a villain. So it makes sense. But I just that's what I heard.
I watched it.
People were talking about slippery slope arguments in the chat. This is not a slippery slope. As I said, if the character was able to be moved, it'd be different. But when you're in a stunned state like that with no combo, I'm sorry, like, you have to be able to make judgment calls at some point.
But especially what if it's with all like the a power. Basic combo. What would be even different?
I think that would be a lot different. Yes, I think that would be a lot different if it was an amount of health where it's questionable, or if it was. But I mean, you have to be able. I mean, we can't make everything that level of argument. Otherwise, it's hard to do anything in life. You know, like, slippery slope is kind of a fallacy in and of itself. But that's beyond the scope of this show. But yeah, I mean, with all the issues the PS4 has power wise and what may have caused this disconnect and where the match was, you're fucking insane if you think that this should have gone the way it did.
If you don't have it in black and white terms, you're going to create situations where...
And you should.
Where whoever the player is going to be pressured to say, you know, yeah, that's fine, even if it's not really fine. So you
black and white's fine, but this falls under implied death to me. I'm sorry, it just does. Like, there's got, like... It just does.
I think I can understand that point. I don't have that big of a problem with it. I really don't think it doesn't change the way I look at him or anything like that.
If this was Evo Grand Finals and this had happened to him versus Daigo, you know, I think it would to most people, and people would go insane about it, and the result would have been way different as to how it was looked through.
I don't know, man. I mean, if you get pulled over on the highway for doing 1 mile over the speed limit, like, That's a shitty thing that no one expects to have happen. But technically, in the rule book, it's the law, right? But, like, nah, come on, let it go. And in this, I think, let it go. I think
the
dude won.
We all have the honor and the integrity and the moral ethics of
I was
Michael
shocked.
Donkashore.
I was shocked.
Rob TV is on E-League, the Challenger show. And spoiler alert, he won that episode. First episode, they did the challenge at the end of the show where they had to race for the fastest time beating arcade mode of the original Street Fighter. You know how they have the different versions of it with different rosters. But you had to play it looking into a mirror and the screen was behind you.
Wow, that sounds really skill. That sounds like exactly how you would tell who would be the best fit for the E-League Invitational. Like, honestly, right. if you could put a million masterminds in a room and decide how they would figure out the best 30-second player, that would be it.
Well, they have to use Yuri and win with an Aegis while looking into a mirror.
Aww, look at this guy. But the point is, that's just the challenge to then do an actual set. So the person who won, I forget his name, that one guy.
JB won.
He picks Rob TV to go in because he says Rob TV is the guy I'm most nervous about, so I'm going to throw him in there first. And then Rob TV had to pick who... Yeah, he said Commander Jesse and Rob TV are the ones he's most concerned with. He put in Rob TV. Then Rob TV had to pick his opponent, and he went with LTG. And he bopped him pretty hard. And LTG composed himself throughout.
But LTG stays in the house, right?
Yeah, that's
so
the part
kind of
that's
like it's like kind of irrelevant because it's not like LTG was ever going to win anyway.
Well, like, he's no longer competing.
Right.
He's not in the challenges. He's not in the finals.
But he gets to go to the mall and ice skate. And
they buy my ice cream on Sunday.
Yeah, makes sense.
The works. We'll see how that plays out next week on E-League Challenger Series. But it was fun, dude. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, man, our boys are getting paid. And girls. Right? Everybody on that show is probably getting a paycheck. Jan's getting a machine giving him automatic crunches. These dudes are on Turner. And... the more opportunities, the better.
Can I hear Steve's reaction to watching Challenger? Sure.
It just felt so weird. You know, there, you know, as a person who is familiar with the FGC, so you know all that, it was weird watching it, watching a show made for people who aren't necessarily into the scene. So it was weird having all of the people act like they're surprised that Tasty Steve and Sage Am are there and not knowing who they are. It was weird seeing these weird tips on screen, some of which were wrong. Trade up instead of trait up. But even, you know, as a show itself, as a reality show, it was just weird. It didn't really strike me as a great show. You know, they kind of threw everybody here. Okay, you do a challenge. All right, let's challenge is over. Now let's have him pick who he wants to send to the elimination match. But first, let's have everybody go to the mall and get into shenanigans and slide down a slide. And it wasn't really exploring, you know, the people at themselves. You know, they each had a little 2-minute intro as they came into the house, but that was it. Everything else was just sort of, okay, here are things that happened. Okay, here are other things that happened. Okay, low tier god is gone. The end.
So was it what we expected?
It was better than I expected, to be honest, but I had low expectations.
I can't even say that. I can't even say it was better.
Some people are calling out.
Am I missing out?
Some people are calling. You're not missing out. Some people are calling out something that happened on the show. Tasty Steve says, "Oh, he's going to trade up right away," referring to LTG popping Urien's V skill, whatever. And then they were throwing on little like instructional lower thirds that would say what that is, except they put up something about trades. Like when you trade, it's this, not a trait. Which was a misnomer with respect to Street Fighter V, but the point is, so there was some inconsistencies. The one trope of like reality TV that I can't stand, they do a lot on the show, is like interview somebody post thing that happened and say, so I'm in there and I'm doing this, and then I'm doing that, and then I see that this happens. That to me just seems so phony, and I'd rather just get something a little more genuine in there, but that's reality TV, I guess.
And the other weird thing is that they hardly showed any of the actual game.
Yeah.
You know, they had the set at the end, but they only showed like 3-second clips at most of each round.
It was the people responding or reacting in real life or what?
But they didn't even show much of that.
What did they show?
It was just like, I don't know. It was weird. It was weird and it was cheesy and it was, I don't know.
Are you
going
to continue to watch?
I feel like I have to. I feel like there's a responsibility to keep abreast of it for this show and for other things. But
you're saying, Steve.
I said keep abreast of it.
I know, but you're doing the Lord's work watching that shit for
I
us.
I guess. It's like I compared it to the Ultimate Fighter last week. You know, they have all
the week prior.
The same. Yeah, the same type of buildup, the same type of thing. But at the end, you know, it's tangentially about UFC, so they end with a UFC match. They actually have a match. They show the match. That here they show like little clips of the match. Like the game doesn't even matter. It's just really weird to me that E-League doesn't have enough faith in the game to let the game be a selling point. It's pushed to the background. This is a company that built up everything they are about competitive video games, and yet it seems like they're trying to shy away from it in this instance, and it strikes me as very odd.
All right, let's move past E-League. I think we've said all that we really need to say. And
it was weird.
It was what?
Weird.
Weird, huh? Well, let's go to a question of the day. We're changing the subject back to some anime. Question of the day was, what are the animes or franchise should get an Arxis fighting game? This was actually an article that was up on Event Hubs. I think we all saw it. And John, just give us a quick and dirty on how well that article's doing.
Oh, man. So the idea for this was just like, you know, Arxis took Dragon Ball and all that it is and put it into a fighting game, right, and gave it this treatment, and it's doing really well. So obviously we look and say, well, what about, you know, like Bleach, and what about Sailor Moon and JoJo's and One Piece and Yu Yu Hakusho, and I think there were like 15 or 16 other animes in there that people could vote for. And what we saw with this was pretty amazing. I don't know how many people from the actual fighting game community were you know, contributing to this. I'm sure a handful, but we saw people from all different reaches of anime basically probably linking this up on their individual, like, you know, in their corners of anime, like, you know, the Naruto people, the you know, Sailor Moon people, all these people on their own little message boards link this up, and just it's been tracking like crazy ever since it went up. And I think right now it's still like the most being currently viewed more than any other story on the website. But the point is, people are really, really interested in this, and we might have something here, you know, based upon the success of Dragon Ball Z, which might be, I mean, I'm not an expert here, but might be probably the most, you know, like widespread and known of these animes in the, in like the, just the general public realm. But I mean, why not continue to mine out of this and jump into these other avenues that might not be quite as successful or popular as Dragon Ball, but could still do pretty well. And so, yeah.
Okay. Well, we stole your idea, and we made it our question of the day for Best of Five. And here are some of the answers. Piuzera says, Shonen Jump, a next-gen version of Jump Ultimate Stars from the NDS would be incredible.
And they got a ton. There's been a ton, but as you said, they're kind of more loosely fighting games than what, you know, Dragon Ball FighterZ is.
Ricardo Ruz, our friend who made some art for us once. Hunter x Hunter, although adapting the whole NES system to a fighting game makes me think twice about it. Spinning Beat says, Miss Kobayashi's Maid Dragon. Not familiar. Please No Bully says, Weeaboo. It's time for another Sailor Moon fighter. The series offers a huge character roster, and it also has a solid framework for unique character moves that Arxis can further develop. Most of all, there's lots of love for Sailor Moon across all demographics. Easy money, in my opinion. I tend to agree. Forever Evil X, One Piece, free. Think of all the different power types and possibilities. Puny says, fuck anime. Please talk about how awesome the mask would be as a playable character in any fighting game.
The mask would be a sick character. Like, I'm like totally on board. Like Jim Carrey the mask.
Yeah. Mask.
Are we talking about Jim Carrey mask? Are we talking about cartoon mask? Are we talking about comic book mask? Or are we talking about Jamie Kennedy, son of the mask?
Maybe like four of them fight. Maybe it's a mask only fighting game.
Yeah, if
mask for smash.
All right, and that brings us to our block grab.
Block grab.
All right, guys, let's block or grab on games, anime titles that should be brought to light via Arxis Works. I might skip some of these, but let's start off with one of my favorites, Cowboy Bebop. And we're starting with John this week. Block or grab,
hey.
John.
You know, I have got a lot of friends. I've never actually watched an episode of Cowboy Bebop, but I've got a lot of friends that are super into that. And it seems like it's kind of stood the test of time. Are they still making it, or is it done with?
No, it's done. It was like a 25 or 26 episode series and a movie.
Okay, yeah. There's, again, not an expert here. There is, we were talking about it, and Majin Ten Shinhan, the guy who knows all about this kind of thing and the one who wrote this article, said that in Japan, once something is done with like that, unlike America, where we're like, oh, let's nostalgically bring it back and let's like, oh, everything we can to continue to milk out of it and, you know, all that stuff. Japan's like, it's done, and we leave it and we move on. Something that's done like that, I wonder if it's going to really do all that well if they continue to make stuff out, you know, after the fact.
But you know, so that's what? I'm going to counter your explanation there, because there have been Cowboy Bebop games. I'm not sure if they're any good or not, but they came out well after the completion of that series. So tell your buddy Majin that he's full of shit.
Deal. Will do. But having said that, I think that this sounds like one of those, like, a lot of people know what Cowboy Bebop is, even if they're not even into anime and such. I think it would be a good venture, so I'm going to grab.
There's a lot of really cool kung fu and fighting and violence and action in that series. That's a grab, you said, John?
Yes.
Steve, block or grab on Cowboy Bebop?
I feel like I don't have the right to grab on Cowboy Bebop.
Why not? You haven't seen it.
I haven't watched it.
All right, so
I know it's something that I've been meaning to do for years and years, and I'm hoping to have it done by June 1st, but I just never got around to it. So I feel like I have to block and take the shame of blocking.
I'm one of the few hipsters who doesn't really like Cowboy Bebop, despite the fact that I've watched it.
And you have a little bit of a Spike Spiegel
and despite the fact
going.
That I got a little bit of that going. But outside of that, I'm going to have to block just because I think it's more niche. And like I think I would like them to, like, if they're going to do this, I would want it to be something that, like, people would really get into as a fighting game. Whereas, like, Cowboy Bebop has, like, the type of fans would be like, oh, this shouldn't be a fighting game, you know? Like, I just don't think it makes a lot of sense.
Is it based around fighting?
No.
But the main guy is like a kung fu, like Bruce Lee martial arts type of guy.
It's not about fighting.
There's plenty of fighting in almost every single episode, all right?
I like the fact that more people are upset about me not watching Cowboy Bebop than they're upset about Donkin not liking
Cowboy. Well, yeah, you should have at least watched it.
You guys are all wrong. It's a grab. All right, next one. I don't know if you guys have heard of this one. I bet you everybody's going to block Naruto. Naruto, John, go.
Yes, and it's in the same field as Dragon Ball, and that is a fighting, you know, show, isn't it? Right.
Yes.
I haven't watched it. So yeah, I think that's the next place you go, is Naruto. So I'll go with crap.
Steve.
This makes so much sense that I can't even make a joke about it. That it's an instant grab.
And just to remind everybody, we're talking about giving it the same treatment that Arxis gave Dragon Ball Fighters.
I mean, it's an easy grab for the reasons they said. You know, I like it from a nostalgia perspective, but I think Dragon Ball Z and Super suck really badly. But I'm still glad they made a fighting game out of it. And I'm glad that people are, as the paragon of kindness myself, you know, like, I'm glad that people enjoy it. And I want them, if they're going to take another step into this, and it's going to be a big deal where they keep making these high-profile anime fighting games, I think Naruto is like the perfect choice and definitely the next choice if they're going to go about it. It would be between that and One Piece or something like that. So I think Naruto's got to be a grab. I think people would be super excited. I think it'd be fun.
It's currently, for what it's worth, I guess I should let you guys know, Full Metal Alchemist is seventh on the list of our voting. It's got 707 votes. And Naruto is eighth with 575
votes. Really? What's
votes.
First?
Well, I don't know. Let's finish this first, yeah. and then I'll let you guys know.
All right. Next on the list is Shin-chan.
Crayon Shin-chan?
Yeah. John?
Wow.
What?
Really?
You haven't seen that one?
No idea what that is.
Dude, you must have honor.
I mean, R.I.P., the guy who created it fell off a mountain and died.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah, he died.
That's a hilarious, not kid-friendly, kids cartoon, and it's very funny. So that's a block on...
I don't know. So I guess block or just a pass, because no idea.
We're never great.
Elephant Dance as his finisher?
It was tough enough getting Virtua Fighter Kids over here. So I got a block just based on that. It's just a can of worms you don't want to open.
All right, let's speed this up, guys. We're running out of time. So that's a block. What are you going to do?
A block.
You're blocking on it. All right, let's do a lightning round of just blocks and grabs on it. We're going to throw a couple extra in here. Sailor Moon. John?
Block.
Grab. Instant grab.
Yeah,
I
bet you would.
I got a grab. I think that'd be super cool. I think they could... There's like just a good size of, like, you know, 10 characters or so for that I think would fit really well. And I think they could make a really well-stylized fighting game out of it that a lot of people would buy just for the sake of buying it, and then a lot of people would play if it was good. So, grab.
Aren't they doing the... What's it called? Heroines? SNK Heroines right now? It's the same shit to me.
That's the same shit. That's sick. Not, I like that answer.
John, One Punch Man. Block or grab?
I mean, if there's enough characters, then grab. I haven't watched it. I hear really good things. It's a really deep, like, right. Smart show. So
yeah,
it's all grab.
Right. Steve, block or grab? One Punch Man?
I have watched it. I would block simply because... The only way that works is if you don't have One Punch Man as a character.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I'm in the camp that we've actually, like, we've seen a lot of fairly legitimate anime fighting games, right? We've seen Nitro Plus Blasters. We've seen Dengeki Bunko Fighting Climax. And these games are games that people claim they're going to get excited about and then don't. Because the fact of the matter is, if it's not DBZ and it's not Naruto, you're not going to get people in there to buy it just for that sake and play it seriously just for that sake. So I really think that I would have to, if it's not, you know, a big, famous, mainstream anime, then I just think it'll go the route of Dengeki Bunko and no one will care. So I'm going to block on anything that's not those.
Shout outs to Honora for the sub. All right, moving on, guys. Hello Kitty, the fighter. John, block and grab.
Block. Move on.
Steve, block and grab. Hello Kitty.
Grab, but not, or block Arxis. I would love to see it done as a sequel to Sonic the Fighters. Grab.
Sonic the Fighters was cool.
What you got? Block and grab. Hello Kitty.
Well, we've got a lot of, like, I mean, there was all, like, the Sanrio X Capcom crossover stuff, but, you know, I'm going to
They're halfway there, man.
I'll block.
All right, and then just a couple from the chat. Somebody, I guess this is not technically an anime, but Thundercats, the fighter. John, block or grab.
Thundercats, cool.
Sure. Yeah. Fine, grab.
Check out my Lionel. Yeah, dude. Steve, block or grab. Panthro, for sure.
Try that on my Lionel. Grab.
Lionel? It's Lino.
The crowd.
It's not Lionel Richie.
What's the name of the cat again?
Like,
I'm trying to remember his voice. I can't remember his voice, but I liked it. I feel like I can do that voice if I heard it.
Jinxos or something like that. So you're going to block or grab on Thundercats?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm trying to be serious here, then I have to block. Yeah, Snarf.
Snarf, thank you.
Snarf.
Snarf. It's terrible.
Let me throw one out here. Keijo.
Which one?
Keijo. We're not that weebish.
The hell's that? John, block or grab on
I know what it is, but...
I don't know.
I'm not.
Steve, are you going to block or grab on Keijo?
You got to grab on Keijo. It's based on actual fighting. A legitimate, completely legitimate, completely real fighting style. Grab.
I want Bloodsport the game.
That would be sick. There you go. You're into my category.
Those
right
aren't
there
animes, bro.
Oh, man.
Any movie that JCVD was in.
Any JCVD... Like JCVD as the entire cast, as the characters he's played, character including he's played. Guile, right? So you'd have Guile versus all these other
They're
characters.
All the same character.
That mime character that goes into.
Well, obviously, Kickboxer and Bloodsport are literally the same movie, like
it doesn't matter.
Sequence for sequence.
You know, it's like the recan of that game. Okay. There we go.
Time Cop's my favorite.
Time Cop will be good. Thank you.
You can have,
so do you know who's in the lead, John? I'm actually interested to hear. I would have figured Naruto would be up there.
Okay, so let's see. A couple of the notable ones. Sailor Moon's on here. It's number 11 with 338 votes. Yu Yu Hakusho is number 6 with 749 votes. One vote behind One Piece, which has 5th place, 750 votes. Number 3 is My Hero Academia with almost 1,300 votes. Number 2 is Bleach with 1,952 votes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that.
They got on those.
And
that was the one
that they were talking about, saying that like if an anime is or if a thing is dead, then in Japan they don't want to bring it back. But Bleach is getting a lot of support, but probably from like Americans and or at least not Japanese people. And then number 1 is JoJo's, very far in the lead with 24% of the votes, 2,834.
So and yet again, it's one of those things that's hard to judge because JoJo's did have a recent fighting game, right? Like there was a recent fighting game where, I mean, it came out and there's an actual very legitimate JoJo's fighting game made by Capcom from, you know,
Guile's based off of a JoJo's character, right?
A lot of years ago. What?
Guile, the character?
Yeah,
Guile,
I think he was. And I mean, literally there's a JoJo's fighting game that's like a real fighting game, like that's like good, but that's from a bunch of years ago. So I mean, it's interesting. It's hard to say because, like, all we've gotten are these, like, you know, kind of fighting games where they're obviously not meant to be very competitive. So it's hard to see what would work as a more thought-out fighter.
Mm-hmm. Guys, that brings us to the end of the show. That was Block Grab. Thank you for the people who responded to our question of the day. And thank you for everybody who tuned in. We're going to head out and go lab up Falk like you've never seen before. We're going to be the best 4 Falk mains in North America.
Yep,
I need
fire. Anyway, that's been Best of 5, your weekly FGC talk show here.
I'm
going to
be
Twitch.
Too busy watching
The Challenger.
Yeah, I'll be too busy watching The Challenger in between episodes of Cowboy Bebop.
All right. Shout outs to Steve's Mannequin. We will see you guys next week.